What is up, guys? We're at Fantasy Football Insights. I'm Chris Brent.
I'm Brandon Fogle. How you guys doing?
We're here to talk about some playoff challenge and go over some coaches that were hired. Probably get into consistency rankings for you guys and kind of explain why you need to really know why a player is consistent or not, because it's actually a really big deal. So let's just jump into the coaching ranks here, and we start with Jay Gruden, Bengals offensive coordinator, hired as Redskins head coach. What do you think about it?
I mean, I like it. He was the Bengals' former offensive coordinator. That offense was pretty high powered, and they put up some points. I like him going to Washington because I felt that RG3 needs a younger head coach to form around and kind of build a relationship with, so that they can move on in the future with the Washington Redskins, and RG3 can actually trust and believe in his head coach, which I think that there was some lacking in that one with Mike Shanahan being the coach. It'll be interesting to see how that offense does. They'll still be formed around Alfred Morris, Robert Griffin III, and Pierre Garçon. Also throw Jordan Reed in there, who we both like a lot. He'll be able to find other weapons for RG3 to play with, and I like this hiring.
Oh, yeah. Sean McKay is going to be the new... I think it's McKay. Sean McKay is going to be the new head offense coordinator for the Redskins. He was the tight end coach, so I really see Jordan Reed having a big jump out season next year. So he's a guy I'm probably going to rank in my top five tight ends next year. I haven't really gone over the rankings yet. I guarantee he'll be in my top five. Then you just look at what they're going to do. I mean, Jay Gruden, he's been all over the place. I don't really know what this means for the hire. He said he loves the read option, but, I mean, Jay Gruden's run all kinds of different offense, so we don't really know what kind of approach he's going to take with the offensive game. I still like Pierre Garçon, still like Alfred Morris, still like RG3 going into the next season. But, I mean, I don't know what way this offense is headed in. I mean, I couldn't tell you because he's jumped from the Arena League to the UFL, to the NFL. He's been all over the place. Jay Gruden has been in multiple leagues, so that's kind of where they're going right now.
Yeah, and I mean, the read option really didn't work as well for the Redskins as it did in 2012. But hopefully that they can... That's something that they definitely, I think, they have to get involved a lot in the offense, because that was very... That helped them a lot on their playoff run in 2012. And, I mean, RG3 is an athlete. You got to get him out in space and let him make plays with his legs.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't even try to run the read option this year. I mean, we looked at last year how many touches a game Alfred Morris was getting. It was like 25 a game. This year, I mean, he was barely getting like 15, 17 touches a game. It was absolutely ridiculous. And you were just sitting there wondering why the Redskins weren't giving him the ball, knowing that if they gave him 25 carries a game, they were going to win. But they weren't doing it, and they just got behind too quick. The defense wasn't holding up, and that was just what happened. So we look at the next hire, Mike Zimmer, to the Vikings. What does this mean?
I mean, the Vikings, they're a very interesting team when you think about how they're kind of formed. I mean, their defense is thought to be high-powered and thought to be a really good defense. But, I mean, their defense hasn't been as consistent as they would like it to have been for the past years, especially this last year. They have a lot of problems in the secondary. I think bringing in Mike Zimmer, or not Mike Zimmer.
Yeah.
Mike Zimmer, yeah. I think that really helps him out. He's the defense coordinator for the Bengals, and the Bengals actually had a very good defense when he was there. And I think Mike Zimmer's going to definitely come in and make defense his main priority in Minnesota, and he's going to really think about how he wants that defense to work. And I think that the defense is just only going to help out that offense more, being led by Adrian Peterson, other than the... And, I mean, there's reports out there that he possibly could be traded. I don't think he's going to be traded. But definitely helping out Adrian Peterson, that offense. I mean, the quarterback position is looking like it might be Teddy Bridgewater's, according to Mel Kiper's mock draft. We'll just kind of have to see how that goes. Still got toys on the offense. Got Cordarrelle Patterson, one of the most electric players in the NFL that he can mess around with. You have a very consistent veteran at Greg Jennings at wide receiver, as well as Kyle Rudolph. So, I mean, I like this hiring. I think that the defense was their main focus, and they definitely went out and addressed it.
I mean, unless I missed something, Norv Turner's not the offensive coordinator of their team yet.
No.
So, what defensive coaches like to do, they like to come in, they like to run the ball. So this offense isn't going to change very much right now. They love the conservative approach. They love using the running back, just We'll just kind of take the time off the clock, and we'll just play defense from there. And that's what they like to do. Norv Turner, though, he's definitely a guy that they don't have the weapons to run what he wants to run right now. So they're going to have to come in. They're going to have to run an entire different thing because they don't have guys who can really stretch the field. I mean, they got Cordell Patterson. Don't get me wrong. He can stretch the field, but Greg Jennings isn't going to stretch the field for you.
I mean, Jerome Simpson can stretch a little bit, but I mean, I see what you're saying, that like San Diego had a lot more options than what Minnesota did. So.
And, I mean, you look at the quarterback right now, Matt Cassel. Matt Cassel's not a guy who can throw the vertical route. So they're just kind of going to have to go from there. If they move on with Matt Cassel, I mean, they're going to be in trouble.
It's looking like they're going to move on, though, through the draft when it comes to quarterback position, though. So, I mean, that'll be a very interesting thing to see. I mean, I would assume that he would like to draft his quarterback of the future and really form him on that team.
I don't know. It depends. Sometimes these defensive coaches, like we saw last year, who got the job. Gus Bradley gets the Jacksonville job, and they don't go after a quarterback in the first round because they didn't believe anybody was there. They needed that position, but they just didn't believe anybody was there. And according to the draft this year, they're supposed to pass on quarterback again. So they just kind of just keep trying to upgrade, getting the best available, and maybe that's something that Mike Zimmer will do. But definitely we'll kind of just move on to the next one. Rex Ryan signed a multi-year extension with the Jets. I think this is a great move for them because, I mean, you're the Jets. You're not going to get anybody else.
No, we both like Rex Ryan a lot. Yes, they don't make the playoffs, but if you just look at the talent that's on that team, it's not eye-popping. It doesn't just grab your attention, and he's still managing to get to 500 and above. And, I mean, he knows how to win games, Rex Ryan does. He loves working with his defense and his offense. They have Geno Smith, though. I mean, he had a up-and-down rookie season, but he can definitely work out those kinks over the next couple of years with Rex Ryan. And I like Rex Ryan a lot. He's a very energetic type of guy. And like you said, I don't see anyone else better that they could have brought in.
No, I mean, the head coach market this time was absolutely terrible. It was awful. I mean, when the leading candidate for every job was Ken Whisenhunt. Ken Whisenhunt wasn't that good in Arizona.
No.
I mean, sure, he didn't have, the talent. But besides when he had Kurt Warner, the team was not good. The team, he has a losing record right now. He's a losing head coach. So when he's a leading candidate for every job, it's just like, I mean, there's not really the talent out there that we needed. And that's what we'll jump next. Ken Whisenhunt hired by the Titans. Good move, bad move.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of came out of nowhere. Most people were expecting him to possibly go to the Detroit Lions, but he went to Tennessee. And, I mean, I like this. He has a lot of players on that offense who we're excited to see next year. One being Justin Hunter, who you like a lot. It'll be very interesting. We assume that Jake Locker will be given another year to prove himself as a starter. Which, I mean, that'll be interesting because he really hasn't done much in his time there. You still have Chris Johnson. There's a lot of troubles there, whether or not he's going to get paid or not, and he just brings a lot of other things to the table. And, I mean, I like this hiring. He was definitely the hot commodity when it came to head coaching this offseason.
Ken Whisenhunt, I should say, I like him as a coach. He just didn't do much when he was actually the head coach. I mean, he didn't have a quarterback, don't get me wrong, but, I mean, he wasn't that great. I think he made the playoffs once or twice.
He just did a really good job with the Chargers' offense, and, I mean, that's really what got him the job.
Yeah, he kind of resurrected Philip Rivers' career, which is, I mean, that's fine. And I think that this is a good hire for the Tennessee Titans. I don't really know what Ken Whisenhunt was thinking. I don't trust Jake Locker at all. I've seen him play. He's too injury prone for me. Justin Hunter, I like him a lot, but he's got to put on weight this offseason. He's going to have to. If he doesn't put on weight, I mean, it's going to be hard for him to be a good receiver. Him and Cordell Patterson were so raw coming out of Tennessee. But, I mean, they're going to rise above this, and they'll actually be good. You look at the next thing. Jim Watts reporting, he's a Tennessee Titans reporter, he's reporting that Chris Johnson's not going to be coming back next year, that he's out, and that Kenny Britt is out.
Oh, yeah.
They have Kenny no Britt's chance to return. So it'll be interesting to kind of see where Tennessee's going to go in the draft. If they go running back, maybe they can go after a guy like Trey Mason. Maybe they just say, screw it, and give Sean Green the opportunity to be a good head coach. I mean, be their good running back. And so they'll kind of go from there. It looks like Justin Hunter would step up in replace of Kenny Britt, giving him the bigger receiving role. So let's go into the next one.
And like you said, with the Tennessee Titans, they have the 11th pick in this upcoming 2014 draft. And Mel Kiper has them taking Michigan tackle Taylor Lewin. So they're definitely going to try to address that offensive line, which, I mean, there's a lot of things that they need to address, obviously, on that team. Offensive line, which is a big thing for them because they do like to run the ball.
The last hire was actually Jim Caldwell. What do you think about this one?
I'm mixed about this. He went to Detroit. It'll be interesting to see how they do. Jim Caldwell has a Super Bowl win with the Colts. He was led with one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time by Peyton Manning. I like this hire. I mean, it was either him or Ken Wisenhunt, really, and he can definitely help out that defense, which is a lot of talent, especially on the defensive line with Ndamukong Suh and Nick Fairley, and the rookie Ezekiel Ansah. It'll be very interesting to see what he does. He did a fairly decent job with the Ravens. He was there on their Super Bowl run as well. The defense was kind of subpar this last year. It was okay at times, but this is just kind of one of those hirings that you're just going to have to wait and see how it goes.
Yeah, I love this hiring because what happened with Jim Caldwell is not a guy who can build the team. He's not a builder. He's not going to build the team for you.
No.
But he can definitely maintain success.
He's being put onto a team that has a lot of talent
He doesn't have to build this team. So no. That's what I'm saying. Like, he can definitely just maintain the success that this team has. He has that Tony Dungy personality, that personality that I don't want to disappoint this guy. So what happens is that kind of brings in a lot of the discipline that he can do with that defense and kind of get that defense on track. We saw what he got to do with Joe Flacco. That was absolutely incredible. He had the 11 touchdowns, 0 interceptions in the playoffs. That was awesome. The thing is how much can he help a Matthew Stafford? I don't really know because, I mean, the only quarterbacks that he's helped, Joe Flacco, I mean, he's a Super Bowl winner. Peyton Manning. How much did he really help Peyton Manning? Mm. But actually, if you look at the Peyton Manning stats once Jim Caldwell got to Indy, they actually skyrocketed.
Yeah.
So that's something to really kind of look at there.
And, I mean, that offense is definitely just fine, we think. I mean, maybe bring in another wide receiver.
Oh, I'd love to see them bring in another wide out, yes.
And they're going to definitely have to address that secondary, which is just absolutely atrocious. And they're definitely looking to do that in the draft as they're looking to use their 10th pick overall on Justin Gilbert, the cornerback out of Oklahoma State.
Which I think is reaching a little bit, but it's based off position of need, so I kind of understand it.
Exactly.
So I kind of expect them to kind of trade back a little bit, try to go back in the draft a little bit, maybe try to go like 15th, and they could still get Gilbert there. That was all the coaches that we talked about. Cleveland still has yet to hire their head coach. I mean, who are they going to get?
We don't know. They're running out of all the hot commodities out there. I mean, you still have the name Mike Munchak out there. He's been thrown around, but I don't see him being that great of a fit. I don't know. Have you heard any other names?
I've heard Adam Gase. He is the Broncos offensive coordinator, and it looks like the Browns are kind of waiting on him because he's not even going to interview for a job until after Denver's out of the playoffs. The problem is, why would Adam Gase want this job? I mean,
I'm not sure. I mean, whether they do have two first-round picks, which they are looking to address that offense like they did in 2012, which they completely hit or missed on with Trent Richardson and Brandon Whedon. As they're looking to take Blake Bortles, the quarterback out of UCF, with their 4th pick overall, and then later on in the first round, taking running back Micah Hyde. What do you think about those two potential draft picks? Or Carlos Hyde, not Micah Hyde, from Ohio State.
Do not like Blake Bortles. I'm not liking him right now. I came around on him. The thing is, like, he's in UCF. Yeah, he hasn't played anybody. And he's going to go ahead like Teddy Bridgewater? Why? I mean, why? That's really concerning to me. Everyone's going to say, well, he played Louisville. They beat him. It was Louisville. I mean, sure, Teddy Bridgewater. You can make the same argument, though. I guess Teddy Bridgewater hasn't played anybody either. So I guess you can kind of go from there. I mean, clear cut to me, Johnny Manziel is the best quarterback. And Cleveland might use those 2 picks straight up to go get him.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know what they'll kind of do there. But I bet that they're pretty much hoping that the Texans pass on Johnny Manziel. Looking at the next scenario, I mean, if Adam Gase goes into this job, I don't know that Carlos Hyde is going to be a first-round pick.
No.
I think they need another secondary piece. They definitely do, to me. I mean, Joe Hayden sure is doing a heck of a job, but I'm a little worried about the other side of that field.
Yeah, it's just Buster Skrine over there, which, I mean, he's a solid cornerback, but not the number two that they need.
Yeah, so that's definitely kind of where maybe they'll go with the second pick. Who kind of knows what they'll do, but I kind of expect them kind of trade up in the draft. Look, like, maybe they'll go trade up to two and switch spots with the Rams, and then the Rams are just going to benefit, and keep benefiting from all these draft picks, so...
I mean, the Rams definitely take advantage of their draft picks.
Yeah, so I don't know who would want this job in the entire world. If Cleveland walked up to me and asked me if I would want it, I would say absolutely not.
I would say yes.
I would decline them. And
just so I could drop out of school and get paid.
So, yeah, there's that. And, I mean, what else we're going to... Oh, the playoff challenge, yes. Week 3 playoff challenge on CBS.com.
This playoff challenge has not really gone well for me as it has for you.
Yeah, I've gotten lucky with LeGarrette Blount call and T.Y. Hilton the first 2 weeks. So, week 3, maybe you should listen to me on one of the guys I picked because I'm doing pretty good with that.
I don't say this often, but you should probably listen to him.
So, we got that. And let's just jump into the quarterback here. Who do you go with at quarterback? We have Peyton Manning for 76, Tom Brady for 66. Colin Kaepernick for 64, Russell Wilson for 60.
I really don't trust either of the quarterbacks in that, the 49ers and Seahawks showdown. I mean, you're going, that's probably going to be a low-scoring game. Two really good defenses. Colin Kaepernick.
But if you had to pick one?
Between the two of them, I would trust Russell Wilson.
Really?
Yeah, I really would. I mean, you saw how Colin Kaepernick played against the Seahawks earlier this season. Mm-hmm. They just do not play well against the Seahawks. Yes, Russell Wilson is he's high or low, honestly, let's be honest. He's either going to throw for like 160 yards or he could possibly get 300 passing yards, two passing touchdowns, and a rushing touchdown. I mean, I just trust Russell Wilson getting me points more than I do Colin Kaepernick, which he has to deal with Richard Sherman in that great secondary. And, I mean, they just don't seem to ever play really well against the Seahawks. On the other side, you have Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. I would actually probably go with Tom Brady. I trust Tom Brady more in this matchup, and I actually have Patriots winning and beating the Broncos, which that's set to be a really good game. But I trust that, and like you and I have talked previously, John Fox always finding ways to lose his team playoff games. And I mean, you have, that team is just ridiculous. Like, Tom Brady has actually had a week off. He didn't have to throw for a single touchdown to beat the Colts. He had 6 rushing touchdowns out of his backfield, with 4 going to LeGarrette Blount, 2 going to Stevon Ridley. So, the Broncos are actually going to probably have to worry about the run a lot more, and then that's going to open up the passing game. I like Tom Brady. I like what Julian Edelman brings to the table, and no matter who's really there in New England, Tom Brady's still finding ways to get yards and touchdowns.
Yeah, definitely. If I had to choose, Tom Brady's number one for me this week.
Then Peyton Manning.
No.
Really?
Peyton Manning's 3 because I think they're going to lose, and if you're going into this playoff challenge that we're playing, you're basing it off of who's advancing. So, because you kind of want people to get you the most points over a two-week period. I think 2 is Colin Kaepernick, and then 4 is Russell Wilson. So that's kind of where I am now. I got my 2 Super Bowl guys, 1 and 2, and then I kind of moved Peyton Manning down to 3. But that's only because I don't see them advancing. I like Peyton Manning this week as the number 2 option if it's a one-week type thing, but Tom Brady is my number one quarterback this week. And if I had to go between Russell Wilson and Colin Kaepernick, I'm choosing Colin Kaepernick because I believe that the interceptions are going to be there. Don't get me wrong. I think he'll probably throw two picks. And I just think that what's going to happen is he's going to have more yards than Wilson. Even no matter what, he's going to have more yards and he's going to have more opportunities to score. I do not expect a big game from Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at my playoff challenge, and I only have one player that's advancing into this week. So, and I only have 4 transactions left, so that's just... This was kind of a practice year for us, and I mean, it'll be interesting to see how it goes over the next couple of years, which I assume will do it. So we can actually probably move on into the playoff games a little bit. You have the Patriots beating Denver,
correct? Yes.
And I would agree with that. We both trust Tom Brady more than we do Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning's a great regular season quarterback, not too great in the playoffs. When it comes to the Seattle and San Francisco game, who do you get?
San Francisco.
You have San Francisco. I will take Seattle in this matchup.
I've been going back and forth on this pick, though. Like, if you heard me talk later, I mean, earlier in the week, I told you it was Seattle. If you heard me talk later in the week, like 2 days ago, it was San Francisco. And then I went back to Seattle yesterday, and now I'm back to San Francisco. So I'm kind of going back and forth there a lot. I mean, it's going to be a really good game. I mean, I've stuck with the Patriots all week long. They're definitely my pick of the week. So that's where I'm going to head there. Looking at running backs, I only have LeGarrette Blount left, and I have five transactions. So if you were to pick any running back, who would you rather have? Marshawn Lynch, Knowshon Moreno, Frank Gore, I guess LeGarrette Blount, we'll throw him in there. Yeah, those are the starters.
Am I taking two out of these?
Yeah.
I would take LeGarrette Blount and Marshawn Lynch.
Okay.
Just because those are who I have advanced into the Super Bowl, so it only makes sense to want them for another week.
Yes, I agree with that. I don't trust Knowshon Moreno, especially not for 62. I know what the Patriots are going to do. This could be a really nice game for Knowshon, just like last week. What they'll do is they'll put six in the box, and they'll play man, and they'll make Peyton run the ball. That's what's going to happen. They're not going to let him just throw all over them, and Knowshon could have a big game. It's just I'm not banking on that. I mean, Monty Ball could have a big game, so could Knowshon Moreno. So I don't really want to go there. I don't want to play that game right now. Frank Gore does not run well against Seattle. I do not want to even test that out. Shane Vereen, complete gamble. You're rolling the dice, hoping for the best. If you're picking a Patriots running back, I think it's got to be LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah.
Denver probably will have an answer for LeGarrette Blount, though. I mean, because you look at kind of the way Denver's run defense has been playing. I mean, last week they played well, but they didn't really play anybody. Ryan Matthews on bum ankle.
Right.
LeGarrette Blount's a pounder. Like, he'll pound you for a little bit, and then he'll kind of just keep going from there. And
he's a bruiser is really what he is. He'll just keep hitting you, and then you'll eventually get soft, and then that's... LeGarrette Blount's just that big-body guy who he'll just get you all worn out, and then he'll bust one on you.
Yeah, he runs like a 4.4 40, too. It's absolutely ridiculous.
No.
The guy's got crazy speed.
And we were talking about this earlier this week. Bill Belichick, definitely a steal in that trade.
Oh, yeah.
With Jeff Dentz in the second, or in a seventh-round pick for LeGarrette Blount, which LeGarrette Blount has been one of the most underrated free agent signings of the year, and he's definitely helping out the Patriots in their running game during the playoffs.
Okay, let's move on to wide receivers. We got Julian Edelman, Demaryius Thomas, Eric Decker, Wes Welker, Michael Crabtree, Anquan Boldin, Doug Baldwin, Golden Tate. Got to pick two. Who would you go with?
I'm kind of setting myself up here for a 49ers and Patriots Super Bowl. I do have the Seahawks winning, but I mean, if the 49ers do find a way to win, then I will have more players advancing. The thing is that I have a tight end spot that I wanted to fill. Who do you trust more, Vernon Davis or Zach Miller? I trust Vernon Davis a lot more.
I do too.
When it comes to the two wide receiver positions, I already had Michael Crabtree there. I like Crabtree. I'm probably just going to stick with him because I only did have four transactions left. With my second, I chose Julian Edelman, who is Tom Brady's go-to guy. And then at the quarterback position, I still have Tom Brady, and I also have LeGarrette Blount at my running back. I will be without an RB2, a kicker, and a defense, so we'll just kind of have to go and see. I probably have no shot of winning, but this is for the heck of it. But, I mean, when you're asking for, like, out of all these players, you're definitely going to want one of the Patriots receivers. I mean, out of all the Patriots receivers, I would trust Demaryius Thomas the most.
You mean a Broncos?
A Broncos, yeah. Broncos sure. Receivers, I would definitely trust Demaryius Thomas the most.
I would, too.
Out of Eric Decker and Wes Welker. Out of a Seahawks receiver, I mean, I wouldn't even go there.
No, I wouldn't either. I mean, you're looking at Percy Harvin is not cleared to play, so don't even be like, don't get cute and be like, well, I'll just try to plug in Percy Harvin. We saw how he played last week. He got hurt three times in one game. Like,
it's not good at all.
Yeah,
that's like Danny Amendola territory right there.
Yeah, this guy's going to set the record for most of all-time injuries. Like, Julian Edelman's the way I'm going, and if I have to pick another one, I haven't done my lineup yet, but I would probably lean towards Demaryius Thomas, but I don't really... I'm worried about Talib on him, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And Talib just does this amazing job, and they take away your best weapon.
Did a really good job against T.Y. Hilton.
And it looks like maybe Wes Welker could have a big game.
He could.
But who's to say Belichick doesn't want to just rub it in his face and then just have Wes just shut him down?
Exactly.
So, if I had to choose, I'd go Demaryius Thomas. He's the most consistent. But I don't love it.
Out of Patriots receivers, we're only trusting Julian Edelman.
Yes.
When it comes to the 49ers receivers, it's really between Michael Crabtree and Anquan Boldin. And who would you assume Sherman's going to be on?
Boldin.
Yeah, I'm on Boldin, which is what I think, too. So I would go with Michael Crabtree. Because, I mean, Kaepernick's going to have to throw to someone. It's most likely the guy who's going to be covered by Sherman isn't really going to have that great of a game. So it's going to be that other receiver in Vernon Davis.
They could put him on Crabtree. It's just with how physical Bolden is, I think they'll put Sherman on Bolden.
Yeah.
Just to kind of shut him down, because Sherman's that big guy, and he can kind of disrupt Bolden. I mean, he did it so well last time they played in Seattle. I think they'd be kind of dumb to put him on Crabtree, but, I mean, what do I know? I guess I'm not a playoff coach, so whatever.
Could be for the Browns.
Yeah. So let's go to the tight end position. I mean, is there any choice?
I mean, it's really going to be Vernon Davis or Julius Thomas. I mean, unless you're going to try and take Zach Miller and you think that the Seahawks are going to make the Super Bowl, which I do. But, I mean, when it comes to fantasy points, it's really between Julius Thomas and Vernon Davis, and I trust Vernon Davis more. Because there's so many options on that Denver team that you don't know. Julius Thomas, yeah, he's going to be getting 4 catches for 60 yards, but I mean...
Probably a touchdown.
Maybe a touchdown, but I mean, those could definitely go to one of the receivers. Vernon Davis, though, he only had 1 catch last week, and it was for that 1-yard touchdown. So, I mean, how much do you really trust Vernon Davis over Julius Thomas?
Not very much, but I do like Vernon Davis just because I can guarantee you, like, he's going to play probably 2 games. Like, that's the thing I like, is you can guarantee he's going to play 2 games. I don't know what the Broncos are going to do. I don't know. I'm worried about them. Because I'm thinking that the Patriots are going to do the Patriots are going to do that, play man all over the field. And Jamie Collins is going to be on Julius Thomas. And Jamie Collins played a heck of a game last week against the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a little bit concerning. I would be pretty worried about putting Julius Thomas in the lineup this week.
Yeah, I mean, Julius Thomas definitely been one of the biggest surprises of the year. But, I mean, do you even have enough to fill out an entire lineup?
No, I only have 5 transactions.
You only have 5 transactions.
So, I'll go without a kicker in the defense again, but everywhere else I should be able to fill up.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have 1 transaction left, so we can kind of just go from there. I don't trust a kicker. Well, I mean, if I had to pick a kicker, just anybody this week.
Hoshka.
Yeah, it'd be Hoshka. And if I had to pick a defense, ooh, that's tough.
I mean, I would go Seattle's defense out of the 4 left.
But I don't love it. I'd probably go with Seattle if I had to choose one. If you're looking for the best value defense, I mean, I don't really. Maybe the Patriots.
That's what I was going to say.
But I don't love it. And if you're looking for the best value kicker, Dawson.
Exactly. And I mean, going into last week's game too, like, the Broncos still kind of made it a game against the Chargers, and that was with Phillip Rivers as your quarterback. You're going to be going up against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, two of the greatest, or one of the best combinations of all times when it comes to head coach and quarterback. They're not going to, I don't think the Patriots are going to even let up. Like, Tom Brady is out on a mission. He is out to prove that he is the best quarterback of all time, better than Peyton Manning. And if he wins a Super Bowl with no weapons, he's unbelievable. So, I mean, it'll be a very interesting game. Both games are on Sunday, so, I mean, stay tuned for those. What do you have other than that?
Consistency rankings we can jump into.
Yep, which is what you came out with on our Facebook page.
Yeah, definitely go check out the Facebook page, guys. It's www.facebook.com/fantasyfootballinsight without the S. And, so we'll just jump into the consistency rankings. So why should you care about consistency rankings? Like, a lot of people will ask that. Like, why would I even care?
Consistency is really what fantasy football is about, really, when you think about it.
It's about head-to-head scoring, and it's about what you can get out of a guy week to week. You don't really care. I mean, why does it matter? If a guy drops 30 for you 1 week and 5 the next, you're going to be pretty angry with the 5 he just dropped.
Exactly.
So, if you ask me, I'd rather have 15-15 both times. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'd rather just take my chances of maybe getting that production elsewhere. But that's what happens. Like, so with the quarterback, you don't want like a Drew Brees dropping 30 and then 5 the next. That really aggravates you.
He did that quite often this year.
You're probably going 1-1. So, definitely you don't want that. And we'll just jump into the quarterbacks. And the way that I did this is I took the top 10, and I actually didn't do this. It was actually Tristan Cockcroft. I kind of made some changes to it though. But basically what he did is he took the top 10 performances. So every single time that you finished within the top 10, he gave you a point for it and gave you a start, because that's what you want. That's those are the 10 guys that you're going to want to start. So, of course, it's for a 10-team league. If you wanted to do it for a 12-team, you'd have to go look at how many times they finished in the top 12 and kind of go from there. But, so, yeah, that's what he did. And then he divided it by the total number of games that they he actually did 16 games for everybody. I divided it by the total number of games that he played. So that's how I edited it. Like, Peyton Manning was 12 of 16. 75% of his games, he was in the top 10 fantasy scores. That's pretty impressive for him. Drew Brees had 11 of 16, 68%. Nick Foles, 7 of 11, so 63%. So that was really impressive.
Just some, like, shockers, though, in the reading. Yeah. It's just like, you have Alex Smith at 8, who was a top 10 quarterback, 7 out of his 15 weeks.
Yeah.
That's above Cam Newton, Colin Kaepernick, Tony Romo, Tom Brady. I mean,
Phillip Rivers. I mean, these are guys.
Alex Smith went undrafted.
Yeah, he did.
And I mean, it just shows like how deep the quarterback position really is.
Mm-hmm. And when you look at that, Tom Brady was drafted in 100% of leagues. So I mean, you just go from there. And I mean, 37.5%. Tom Brady wasn't very consistent this year. Now, I mean, this is going to vary from year to year. So we're not going to tell you this is the order you draft your guys.
Not
year,
at all.
Because that's not the case. But this is just something that you can look at and be like, wow, that's how consistent they really were. And, I mean, next year maybe we can get this going, like, throughout the season. Like, see how consistent people are kind of throughout the season. So you're not just waiting to the end to find out this out. Then we did how many times they finished in 20 point per game per 6 passing touchdowns. Nick Foles led the way. 9 out of 11 games he started, he had 20-plus fantasy points. That was pretty impressive.
And he only beat Peyton Manning by 0.5. So, I mean, there was a little bit of it. Peyton Manning definitely had a fantastic year. Shocker, though, Josh McCown at 4.
Yeah, 4 out of 6. That was pretty impressive. I was thinking about leaving him out, but I was like, we'll just include him because people will be like, where's Josh McCown? And, like, I just threw him in there. So
Sam Bradford at 8.
Yeah, that's impressive. You look at I mean, who else? I mean, oh, the one that really shocks me is Andrew Luck. 6 out of 16, 20th.
Yeah.
And he finished as a top 5 quarterback. That was a little concerning to me. Very inconsistent. He had a couple 30-point games and a couple 5-point games. And, I mean, that's what we're talking about. Andrew Luck was a top 5 quarterback this year, but you don't really like Andrew Luck because he had a 30-point game, then he had a 5-point game, and you went 1-1. That's just the way it goes. So you can't be doing that. You got to get those guys who get you those consistent numbers week in, week out. Running backs. Jamaal Charles, 20. He finished in the top 25, 15 out of 15 times.
That just adds to him being the best running back of the year. You have LeSean McCoy right behind him, 15 out of the 16 games.
Yeah.
Le'Veon Bell and Eddie Lacy, both rookie running backs this year, both cracked the top 5. Eddie Lacy going 13 of 15 and Le'Veon Bell going 11 of 13, and Le'Veon Bell neither of these guys even played during the full season.
Yeah.
Eddie Lacy played more games than Le'Veon Bell did. 2 more to be exact.
The shocking thing to me was Adrian Peterson, 10 out of 14,
mm-hmm.
and Marshawn Lynch, 11 out of 16.
Yeah, I mean, both of them, I think Adrian Peterson had a bigger down season than what Marshawn Lynch did.
Yeah.
Due to the touchdown ratio there. But we still love these guys.
They're top 5 picks for both of us.
They're both top 5 picks. This is just kind of a different stat line that you guys can look at. And you guys can go to our page and look at this. And this will hopefully help you in next year's draft. And if you're doing mock drafts like we are, this will help you kind of draft based on value and kind of just see what talent you're getting at what draft pick. And, I mean, this is a great thing that he did. We're going to move on to the wide receiver position. This was kind of this is rather interesting when you think about it. You have Demaryius Thomas, Brandon Marshall, Josh Gordon, A.J. Green, Antonio Brown, Dez Bryant, all above Calvin Johnson, who was taken in the first round. And, I mean, that just kind of shows. I mean, yes, Calvin Johnson, he does get you those 300-yard games, which I unfortunately had to go against this year. But, I mean, there's some surprise receivers in there.
Marvin Jones, 8 out of 16 games, he finished in the top 25. That is really impressive.
Michael Floyd.
And now, I will say Marvin Jones was mostly on the bottom of that top 25 performances most weeks. But still, like, that's what we're talking about. Like, I don't think that we should have done the top 25. I think it should have been really moved down to the top 20. Because top 25 is kind of a little bit too easy to kind of get in sometimes. And, like, that's an example. Like, he finished right there 13th, and that he finished ahead of DeSean Jackson and Anquan Boldin. So, let's just move on to the tight ends. Like, I don't have anything else to say about the receivers. That's really impressive. Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey finished in the top 10. I like that. But other than that, we'll just go to tight ends. Jimmy Graham led the way, 68.8% in the top 10 finishes at the position. That was pretty impressive. And I did not change that at all. Whoops. Julius Thomas was supposed to be second. My bad.
No, it's no big deal. Yeah. Your percentages are a little off. But, I mean, out of these top eight that you presented, you have Jimmy Graham, Vernon Davis, Julius Thomas, Jordan Cameron, Greg Olsen, Jason Witten, Charles Clay, and Antonio Gates. Three of which went undrafted in most leagues. You have Julius Thomas, Jordan Cameron, and Charles Clay. It's just, I mean, tight end is actually kind of getting deeper as fantasy football goes on. There are definitely those sleepers each year that bust out. And, I mean, Julius Thomas is definitely the most consistent out of the three. Jordan Cameron having to deal with a lot of quarterback issues. And, I mean, Charles Clay, who was a big shocker to a lot of people. But, I mean, this was actually interesting. So it's very interesting to see that Charles Clay even made this top seven.
Yeah, and we look at, I mean, that's all I have to say about the consistency rankings. Yeah. Next year we'll try to have a more consistent rank for you. Like, we'll try to get those out a lot sooner and try to get them up. Because, I mean, that's kind of important for you knowing to start week by week who you want to start with, who's the most consistent. And that could actually really help you guys down the stretch of the season. So we'll kind of get those out for you. I mean, we talked about the playoff challenge, talked about some coaches. We talked about the consistency ranks. Let's just talk to you guys about, a mock draft. I mean, a lot of people are asking, why don't you guys do more mocks? Why don't you guys do more mocks? Need to do another mock today. So we tend to do mock drafts, like, every day. Yeah. I mean, I don't know about you. I do them every day. Just sometimes we don't tell the entire page that we're doing them, but definitely – we'll definitely try to get one out maybe tomorrow. Yeah. I mean, we can try to set that up where we can do it tomorrow. And that's where we can head for that because a lot of people like to do them. FantasyFootballCalculator.com.
Yep.
And then you go to mock draft. You don't need an account, but if you have an account,
it saves your drafts. And yeah. I mean, it's just kind of something to look at. I mean, you like after next fantasy season, you can kind of look back at what mock drafts you did, and you can just be like, wow, that team would have been amazing, or what was I thinking? So mock drafting definitely helps. I mean, it definitely helped him and I a lot out this year. And, I mean, finding Fantasy Football Calculator is really awesome. If him and I are going to get into a mock draft, we'll definitely post it on the Facebook page. So go out and give it a like, Fantasy Football Insight. And, I mean, we'll let you guys know, and you guys can just join. Usually, they'll start filling up faster as it gets close to the NFL season, obviously. So you might want to be kind of quick and stuff. It's just kind of luck of draw and just kind of have to see who gets in.
Yeah, I mean, we could do private mock drafts. The problem with doing private mock drafts is you have to pay like $20 a month to do it. And I'm sorry, guys, we're not millionaires.
No.
So I'm not going to probably drop $20 a month to do it. So we'll just kind of go from there. If you guys want to do a mock draft, just kind of let us know. We'll kind of let you guys know if we're busy or whatnot. We can go from there. Going into the last point, just subscribe to us on iTunes.
Yeah.
We're going to continue to produce these podcasts for you. And like we said, we're kind of now back into the weekly routine. We're not going to be able to do them every day. It's going to be more weekly, week by week based. And we'll kind of just get at you then. And yeah, I mean, that's all I have for you guys.
That's all I have for you guys. Thank you for listening. Subscribe, follow us on Facebook. And guys, have a great day.
Yeah, you can follow us on Twitter, too. Should have mentioned that before we get out of here. Yep. I'm at FFI Chris. He's at FFI Britain.
Yep.
Yeah. And you can check us out there. All right, guys. Peace out.